everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, engineering and producing the show. Tom, I was so optimistic on Monday when I told everybody we got some nice rain on Saturday. I am starting to kind of feel, and maybe I shouldn't even put it out there, that it's feeling like the tease of the monsoon of 2021. Now, last year, of course, was the robust rain where everybody was getting rain all over town. But I hate to say it, it's like every afternoon, these huge buildup of clouds. But then over at our place, kind of central lower foothills area, nothing.
You know what the airport reported yesterday?
How much?
A trace.
A trace. Which, you know what a trace is, 10 raindrops, something.
It's less than a hundredth or something like that.
It has to be.
Around 100?
Well, anyway, I hope things kick in, but again, normally the rains don't come till around the 4th of July, so we've got some time before we can push the panic button.
But so far it's looking very monsoony.
It is. Yeah, I mean it is. So it's raining somewhere, I guess. Anyway, it's the Buckmaster Show. It is Friday, June 24th, 2022. Our radio station is 1030 KVOI, like The Voice for Tucson's trusted source for news and talk. We're in our 12th year now, 11 and a half years here at the midway point into the radio show after 22 years on TV over at Channel 6. So we've been in town a while, and we are very proud of our show and our podcasts at buckmastershow.com, which go all the way back to the first week of January in 2011. The Buckmaster Show live line for all of our telephone interviews, which we will be utilizing today, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Some of our media friends that we like to recognize on Friday, we like to recognize Dylan Smith and his growing team at TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan and the team are doing a great job, as is Dan Shear of the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. They've been a huge supporter of ours. Jim Nensel, who has put in many years at the Tucson Weekly and announced actually his retirement recently. Nensel's going to be leaving the Weekly after 30-plus years, something like that. But anyway, Tucson Weekly is part of the Tucson Local News Group that includes, it's called the Local Media Group, and includes Inside Tucson Business, The Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. They are all good supporters of our program. With me in studio for our Friday Focus interview today, Kurt Prendergast, opinion page editor for the Arizona Daily Star. Kurt, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well.
I know you're extremely busy, and I do appreciate you taking the time to come over to the radio station, because the news breaking with about the abortion decision from the Supreme Court means that your letters to the editor section will be lighting up like a Christmas tree. I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely.
You're going to have a ton of work to do, but right now I'm glad you're with us for most of the hour today. On the live line, we have Tucson Councilwoman Nikki Lee, a Democrat representing Tucson's Ward Number 4. Nikki was elected in 2019. She's an Air Force veteran, a mom of three kids. And in 2019, she was elected to the four-year term, her first term on the council. Nikki, Councilwoman, how are you?
Bill, I'm doing great. It's good to be on your show today, and I'm excited to chat with you and the audience.
Well, it's good to have you back on the program. It has been a while. You've been extremely busy. Thanks for carving out some time. We did have Mayor Romero here on the show on Tuesday, and she announced, not unexpectedly, but I mean, it was a formal announcement here on the program, that she is seeking another term, a second term as mayor. So what about you? Are you ready to make your declaration here on the program as well?
You know, Bill, I don't see why not.
There you go.
I don't see why not. That was not on my plan to talk about today, but
I know.
Definitely you know, there's so much opportunity, so much work left to do. And I've done a lot of soul searching over the past 6 months just to make sure that I can still deliver the value that I want to deliver to the Tucson citizens. And I plan on seeing if folks will have me another term as well.
There you go. Two announcements here on the Buckmaster Show. Two council people, the mayor and Councilwoman Nikki Lee, saying they are in for standing for a second four-year term. Let's talk a little bit about water. We also had Councilman Dahl on the program Wednesday. This has been like council week here on the Buckmaster Show, and he couldn't make an announcement because he was just elected. But if I had asked him about it, he probably would have said, I know he said he loves the job, so he probably would have said in three years from now, yes, Bill, I'll be running again. But anyway, he is very concerned about the Tucson and sustainability, Councilwoman Lee, and he's actually joined with Tucson Water and some of these proposals to kind of tighten and try to preserve our water supply. And his proposal would hit developers and make them pay more to build in the city of Tucson because of water sustainability. What are some of your thoughts along that line?
Yeah, well, I am absolutely in agreement with all of my colleagues, as well as I'm sure every one of us, is really focused on water security right now, as we should be. And I know that previous mayor and councils have done really great job of, you know, putting things in place to allow us to be smart, sustainable, store water for a not so rainy day, I guess it would be. And that has been good. You know, there's been a lot of groundwork laid in front of us to build off of as we're all, you know, in the Western region dealing with this situation. I think that we have to look at every possible solution to figure out how we can continue to conserve water. You know, how we're building, how we're growing, it's such a delicate balance because we have housing affordability. We need more inventory. And with that comes additional development. With that comes additional water consumption. So it's a really, really tricky situation that we're trying to navigate and needle that we're trying to thread to make sure that we have inventory to drive down housing costs, while also not taxing our water burden even more.
But you are on board for, obviously, for water sustainability. And I think that it's a 5-point plan that the Tucson Water has put forward. I think Councilman Dahl's point was number 5, which was added to that. But you're really you're joining with the rest of the council and taking a real hard look at how we are going to sustain water in this community.
We have to. If we want this community to continue to thrive and be a, you know, a place where people can stay here and continue to raise their families and live, we have to look at water, because if we don't have water, we have nothing.
Let's bring in our friend Kurt Prendergast of the Arizona Daily Star, opinion page editor at the Star. Kurt, go ahead. You're with Councilwoman Nikki Lee.
Hi, thanks. I mean, one thing I would like to know is, what is your proposal? What is your, you know, a top line item for what we can do?
Definitely looking at conservation. I think the proposal, the memorandum that the Tucson Water Department has put forward, there's a lot of great points in there for us to consider, a lot of things that we'll need to study just to understand the full benefit of that. But for me, the items that the memorandum and what the Tucson Water Department has put forward and how closely they have been monitoring the situation and looking at different solutions, you know, I don't have one top item, because I think it's going to take pieces of all different spaces, industries, and all of us individually to be able to contribute to this crisis that we're in, really.
If I'm in my kitchen or in my bathroom in a house in Tucson, how is this going to affect me? If you say conservation, does that mean that I'm going to have to use less water in my daily life, or what does that mean?
I don't believe we have gotten to the point of talking about that at individual home levels, since we're really negotiating, you know, water that we can leave in Lake Mead, kind of at the city level right now. But in terms of looking at, for example, Tucson Water was piloting a flume technology that homeowners can apply to their water meter, and it proactively monitors your water use, and it can alert you on your phone if it suspects that you have a leak. So we're piloting that out with, I think, 200 different Tucsonans across the city to see if that type of technology will work for us. So I'm always looking for those opportunities to utilize technology, to utilize innovation to help us understand our water consumption and identify if there is a problem, and we can start to monitor our behavior on our own to do a better job as well.
You know, I remember, since I'm one of these people that just didn't get off the bus yesterday here in Tucson, when I first came back to Tucson in 1988, the Beat the Peak and that funny little Pete the duck or whatever he was. Do you remember that, Kurt? Were you not here in town when all that happened?
No, I wasn't, yeah, okay. But I did see it recently.
See,
it popped back up.
Oh, they're starting to put it up again, which I think is great because it was an extremely successful water conservation promotion that basically said, don't go out and water in the middle of the day. Water early in the morning and water late in the afternoon or early in the evening. So I think that might be something to really bring back. You remember that, Nikki, or do you?
I have some swag from that still in the office. So I do. And you're right, though. The educational component is huge. And just from people having an awareness of their water consumption at a different level besides just what's on their utility statement can be really key in changing the behavior, for sure.
Let's go to our live line. Caller Matt would like to join in our conversation. Matt, you're with Nikki Lee.
Yeah, hey, councilman, or councilwoman, thank you for all you do. I can tell you all that in Iraq, soldiers know what it means to be water short and water dry, and what it's like to take a shower where you simply all, when they say all you can do is turn the thing on for less than a second or two just to, you know, put soap on and then turn it on again for a second or two, and that's it. That's your shower right there. It's brutal. But I don't think we're going there, and I don't think we've, because I think the city council has done a wonderful job managing our water. But councilwoman, I'm sure you know that the director would tell you what's the number one cost affecting Tucson water, and it's going to be energy. And cost of energy is obviously going up because of exogenous effects. I would simply again say to the council, I agree with Bill, Beat the Peak was a great program. I remember it as a kid. It worked. It makes people cognizant to turn off, you know, and do little things. And I would urge that versus regulatory activity. And I would urge the council to really look at their budget and see what the exogenous cost of the change of energy is going to do to maintenance and operations with regards to Tucson Water. Wish you all well. Thank you. Bye.
Some of your thoughts about the energy costs, Councilwoman.
Yeah, well, first of all, Matt, thanks for calling in. I'm very familiar with that practice of showering in Afghanistan and Iraq, as well as having to wear flip-flops in there, because you do not want to go barefoot in those showers, that's for sure.
Oh, I bet.
So, yes, I won't get into details on that, but flip-flops are good. But absolutely, you know, recently, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was able to go up to one of the Central Arizona Project facilities and do a tour and talk to one of the CAP board members and just try to get even more immersed into the system, the water system. And one of the things that continued to surface was exactly what Matt was talking about, the cost of energy, how that's going to affect the Central Arizona Project operations and those costs and how some of those have been absorbed. But that's only going to be possible, you know, the board is actively talking about how they're going to handle those costs, absorb them or pass them on. And I feel like we have to prepare for some of that to come our way, to the payers of the water utility. And it's going to be hard because there's so much going on with this looming recession and things like that that are heading our direction. But you're absolutely right. The energy costs are very significant. And that is a big part of what CAP board is looking at and what will trickle into us, no pun intended.
Yeah, and the city does have a new water director. I mean, John, I believe is it Kamek? Has been with Tucson Water. He comes to that position, director position. He's highly regarded, and he said he was quoted recently in a Tony Davis story in the Arizona Daily Star that at some point the cuts could be large enough that the city will have to pump native groundwater to serve customers in greater proportions than it's done since its heavy use of the Colorado River water began more than a decade ago. So we don't want to have to start going into our native groundwater supply. I mean, I think Councilman Dahl shared with us on Wednesday that we have, if we do nothing to go into that supply, we would have, if we had to go into it, we would have a 5-year supply. But we don't want to go to that point, because for years, Tucson was the largest city in the United States that was relying totally on groundwater. So we want to save that, Councilwoman Lee, for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I definitely anticipate a lot of educational opportunities for us as a community, because that's nice to have that nest egg, to have that security there. That's important for all of us who live here now and into the future. So we've got to do everything we can to conserve.
All right, we're going to switch gears with you, talk a little bit about the transit system. But first, we're going to talk about our favorite bakery in town, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Kurt, I know you love bakery goods, and could you use what is commonly referred to as a sugar high right about now?
Yeah, it's midday. That sounds pretty nice.
What would you go for? What are you in the mood for? A Danish?
I mean, so last time I was thinking about a bear claw.
The bear claw.
I don't know, a piece of pie. Do they make pie over there?
Yeah, they can do pie.
Like a nice pie sounds good.
Like a piece of cherry pie?
Yeah, if they have pecan pie, I would definitely go for that.
Yeah. What about you, Nikki Lee? What about bakery goods?
As long as it's got chocolate in it, I'm good.
Well, then the chocolate croissant sounds like it would be up your alley. Anyway,
for sure.
Mona's Danish Bakery, their website's monasdanishbakery.com. They are open right now for lunch. Northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, open Tuesday through Sunday. The doors open at 6:30. People are waiting in line because they have a great breakfast. We'll be right back with Nikki Lee and Kurt Prendergast of the Arizona Daily Star.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan, or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio when we do our telephone interviews like we're doing today. That is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Nikki Lee, Tucson Councilwoman, representing, she's Democrat, representing Ward 4, first elected in 2019, and announcing on the program today that she, like Mayor Romero, will be standing next year for re-election for another four-year term. Let's talk about transit across the country, Nikki Lee. This is a huge issue that's developing. Transit systems are reporting that drivers in New York City, train operators, just saying they've had enough. They're walking off the job because of security issues. And here in Tucson, the Teamsters sent a letter to the council in May last month saying, please do not extend the free fares with SunTran because their drivers are worried about security. Some of your thoughts, please.
Yeah, this is a great topic and something that I'm glad that we're studying more. We have a little bit more time between now and the end of the year to really dig into what is our long-term strategy for transit here in Tucson. It's quite interesting because on any given day, I get equal number of communications in support of continuing free fares and some who want to see a fare implemented. So it's very split, actually, on what it is that we're seeing because, as you mentioned, there are folks saying that they're seeing more incidents on public transit. And then other people just genuinely, including City of Tucson workers, who are like, you know, we love to just be able to jump on the bus and get into work. So it's somewhat split. So I think having additional data is going to be really important for us. One of the things that the mayor and Vice Mayor Santa Cruz presented was a memorandum really detailing some different data points that we hope to gather, which I think I'm 100% in alignment and understanding, you know, what was the before picture in terms of the number of these types of incidents happening prior to implementing, you know, the waiver of fares so that we can really get a true picture of the before and after. And again, society has changed so much in, you know, since 2019, early 2020. And we're seeing a lot of different behaviors that have been more prevalent in our society as well that could be feeding some of these issues. But I really want to know, you know, ridership, the safety of our bus drivers, the safety of our riders and the community is key in how we navigate this moving forward.
People are riding the bus more. I learned that this week from my interviews with the mayor and council Mandal, that ridership is up on SunTran. And I did not know that originally, when the pandemic began, the Teamsters Union urged the city council, please drop all the fares. This was a health issue. People would board at the back of the bus so the drivers wouldn't be as exposed during COVID. So now one of the unintended consequences of this has been security has become a big issue. And I also learned this week, Nikki Lee, that the transit, SunTran, only has one law enforcement officer that is dedicated to our entire bus system. So this might be, as you and your council colleagues look at this, might want to beef up security.
You know, I think it's a great opportunity in general to look at the entire system. So understanding the data about the number of instances, the security concerns, because I definitely want everyone to feel safe. And on that note, too, when I was driving down Houghton the other day, I saw one of our constituents standing by out here. We have legitimately like a sign by a sidewalk that says, here's your bus stop. There's no seat. There's no cover. There's not even a tree. Mm-hmm. Wow. And he was sitting on a hot sidewalk bicycle waiting to get on a bus when it was, you know, 107 degrees. And so, you know, truly part of my goal, in order for us to have a system that everyone can truly access, that includes making sure that we have coverage across the entire city, because I know for me to be able to take a bus, it is a lot of effort, and a lot of people out in Ward 4 feel the same way. So we do feel pretty vehicle dependent out there just because of the lack of transit out on the southeast side of town. So hopefully that can come into the conversation as well.
So this might be an opportunity just to look at really the whole future of public transit in the city. Is that kind of what I'm hearing you say?
That's my hope. Figure out really the bottom line. I know some folks have pointed out, you know, if it costs this much to implement the technology to start a fare, you know, what are the overarching costs for that? And does it even make sense if we have, you know, different fee structures and low income? How does it all pencil out on paper? And then I want to make sure we talk about true accessibility across the city to get from one side of town to the other.
Let's bring Kurt Prendergast back into the conversation. Kurt, from the Arizona Daily Star opinion page editor. Go ahead, Kurt.
Well, this might be a little pie in the sky, but if you are thinking about overhauling the transportation system, are you thinking about making more streetcar routes, putting in trains, anything super ambitious on the table?
I think we should be looking just as a future, you know, how do we want this to look? I know they're talking about rail to connect Tucson to Phoenix. I have for years, when I used to have to commute down to Fort Huachuca, just wished we had a rail that I could jump on to get from Tucson even down to Fort Huachuca. We have a lot of troops that fly in that are getting stationed at Fort Huachuca or going to training, and they've all got to bust them down. So I think just overall, we need to be able to look at the big picture for how we navigate people around the whole state and here locally. So I know funding obviously is the key for everything, but it would be nice to have a big vision on how, you know, how we want to be able to navigate the city, including rail. And then I think our folks would just like a seat for their bus stop. You know, I'll take that too.
Mm-hmm. You know, so many of our homeless folks are veterans, and this just breaks your heart. I know, Councilwoman Lee, that we have people that are, you know, here in town that are camping wherever they can. They're homeless people, and they've served this country. They raised their right hand to join the armed forces. It's a really sad situation, and we have not done a census on homeless people. We talk about, well, it looks like it's growing because it seems like there's more homeless people, homeless camps, but we really don't know right now, do we? There has not been a census since the pandemic began.
It'd be a really great piece of information to know. I just know there are definitely a lot of veterans out there that haven't gotten the services that they really need. In fact, last Friday, I toured the Wildcat Inn, one of the properties that the city purchased and converted it into short-term, you know, get people off the street, get them into shelter, get them stable, get them safe. And just in touring that, I met an amazing young woman who is a Marine. She spent time in the Marine Corps and found herself getting addicted to drugs and then falling into a lifestyle. And she had just given birth to a baby. So I got to meet the baby as well. And it's the first wildcat baby that we have in that amazing space that they've created. So I'm really proud of the work that people are doing. But even in talking with her and hearing her story, it's really clear that a lot of our veterans especially are falling through the cracks. And I think there's some work that the VA could do to help those folks out.
Yeah. And then perhaps get these people into the workforce. And certainly there are opportunities right now because the city of Tucson, like Pima County, the for hire sign is definitely out. There are departments where one-third of the people, there are one-third of the desks are empty at the county and in city levels because there are just not enough people have left under the Great Resignation, and this is becoming a huge problem. And there were a lot of retirements as well, weren't there, Councilwoman?
Yes. We have an interesting situation where we have a lot of folks, as you said, Bill, that are preparing to be able to retire. They're eligible to retire any day. I know the county is dealing with this as well. A lot of our very experienced people, we have a lot of knowledge that's on the line to go out the door really soon. So that's really important. And it would be great, you know, once we have these individuals, we're able to get them stable from a housing standpoint, get them safe, because they truly are just day to day, you know, and once they get to that point where they can start to look at future employment, it'd be great to be able to pull some of those into the city, because there's just nothing but admiration that I heard from the folks that I talked to at the Wildcat Inn, which is how they're so grateful for these opportunities. So I'm excited about what we're doing.
It's about 20% of Tucson's 3,900 workers are now currently eligible to retire. And there are all sorts of vacancies, as I mentioned, Parks and Rec. More than a third of all positions are vacant. One out of five positions in city's information technology spots are unfilled. And when you get to be into the IT area, they can go in to private industry, Nikki Lee, and make a lot more money, can't they?
They sure can, Bill, and that's the area that I come from. So I know it very well. And you can't fault people for wanting to bring in more money for themselves and their families. So that's a real challenge that we're up against, especially some of the key cyber positions that we really need, you know, amazing people to come in and do. We've got to compensate them. So one of the things that I'm working on, and we'll be able to talk a little bit more about this, hopefully August, I think, but through the American Rescue Plan funding, each ward office got an allocation of ARPA funding to help with, you know, workforce development or special projects, whatever, you know, the council member and the ward felt were really key. So we took a good percentage of our ARPA funding for this past year and applied it towards scholarships with Pima Community College for their cybersecurity programs. So there's fast track programs that are going to be available, and certifications, and really to get people through, people who have been displaced by the pandemic, also to match the needs that industry has. Plus, just from a national security perspective, we don't have enough of those people in the pipeline, just in general across the country. So my hope is that through this relationship that we build with folks who are going through these training programs, we can get them into the city, get them aligned with an actual job, and start to help them build up their career while also getting some really good talent in the door.
And the shortage of people that want to work as lifeguards.
It's not, say.
Kurt, it's not just Tucson. I was just reading that this is a national shortage, can't get enough people to do the lifeguards. And the city has tried to respond, Nikki Lee, by upping the pay, which is good. And it's not just young people. If you qualify, if you're an older person, maybe retired, if you pass the requirements with the CPR and all that, you can go to work for the city at the pools, right, Nikki?
Absolutely. Pay is definitely a component. One of the things that I brought up at the last council meeting, in thinking about what some of our other departments do, like we have cadets for the fire department, and we have a plan of, you know, backing into someone's career and getting them on board. So one of the ideas I threw out, and Vice Mayor Santa Cruz also really liked the idea, was thinking about how we could create a lifeguard academy starting maybe in middle school or really early freshman year of high school, and start to get people, get their swimming competencies up where they need to be, so that each summer we're not in this position where, you know, we have such a hard time finding people. So it sounded like because they would kind of wash out, again, no pun intended, from the training because their swimming skills weren't strong enough. Let's get people in early, invest in their education, get them to be the right level of competency to take those positions that we have. So that was kind of my idea I threw out there, and we'll see what happens.
Kurt, any final thoughts before we let the councilwoman go?
I mean, just good luck with the lifeguards, because that would be great if the pools could be open.
Yeah, because right now we only have, I think, half of our pools open. Is that about right?
Yes, that's what I've heard. We did have some more interest after we raised the rate and did some more media pushes. And they've done some really cool stuff on TikTok to show how cool it is to be a lifeguard in Tucson. And I would definitely agree with that. So I'm definitely hoping we can get the immediate needs filled and start to build a pipeline of folks who can serve these really important roles for the community.
Okay, and before we let you go, I've got about a minute. Overall, the spending picture for the next 12 months, which begins officially July 1st, looks pretty good, would you say? How would you characterize the budget picture?
I think we're in a really good spot. I will always say, though, it is part of my personality to look far down the road, and that's where with the uncertainty, with a lot of things shifting in the market and the housing market in general, I am hesitant to do any backflips just because I know where things are kind of headed. But for the immediate future, you know, we're sitting in a really good position. The city manager's office and the finance team and everyone has done a really good job. But I am a saver, so I will always be cautious.
Backflips, keeping with our our swimming pool jargon there. There you go. All right. Yes. Councilwoman Nikki Lee, thank you very much for joining us. We'll look forward to your next visit with us on the show, which is scheduled now for, I believe, mid-September. So thank you very much.
Absolutely. Take care, everyone.
Thanks a lot. Nikki Lee, Tucson Councilwoman, who likes the job enough, Kurt, to say she's going to also seek re-election for another term next year, along with the mayor, who likes the job and says she's in for another four-year term. All right, I've got some things to talk about with Kurt as we continue, including want to talk about his recent op-ed piece. Kurt, as the opinion editor at the Arizona Daily Star, is so busy that he's got a stack of op-ed pieces that he wishes he could like run one every day, but it just doesn't have the time. But I do want to talk about the one that he wrote that appeared in the paper last Sunday, right, Kurt?
Yeah, that's right.
Last Sunday, talking about not to leave Mexico out of the conversation when we talk about gun reform. Back right after this.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Kurt Prendergast is with us. Kurt Prendergast of the Arizona Daily Star. He's the opinion page editor, and he took over from Sarah Garrett Gasson, who went back to her home area of St. Louis. And Kurt started in January, and it's been like nonstop, huge issues, Roe v. Wade, the gun situation. I mean, Kurt, you haven't had time to come up for air, man. It's been wild.
It's been one thing after another.
Yeah, one thing after another. And then, you know, this morning with making it official after the Roe v. Wade documents had been leaked. So you're going to get a lot of letters to the editor. And I noticed in today's Star, it was like a full page now of letters to the editor.
Oh, and we've been doing that for, I think, the last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So there's so no shortage. And it was good to see you writing again, because after all, you're a print journalist. That's what you do. You like to write. You wrote a column in last Sunday's paper. And if you wish you could do more columns if you had the time. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the title was Don't Forget Mexico in the Gun Reform Debate. And this is really an important area. You covered the federal courts for a while for the Star, and you were surprised about federal trafficking of gun laws. Really not many on the books, if any.
Yeah. I mean, this is one of the, like, first of all, as the basis is, you know, probably as we're speaking right now, but just year in, year out, people are buying guns in southern Arizona. They're buying them in Texas, California, and they are moving them into Mexico, where they almost inevitably fall into the hands of criminal organizations. Mm-hmm. So a lot of them from the U.S., when you look and you hear about violence in Mexico, this is a key ingredient to that. These guns and the ammunition that flows south. Mm-hmm. And so when I was in the federal courts, I would go through this, and I have reviewed thousands of federal court cases. Mm-hmm. And if you take the example of, you know, crossing the border illegally, you know, that's like crossing without inspection. There's like language that is like, oh, that's what that refers to. Same thing with drugs. But with firearms and ammunition, it ends up just like exporting goods without a license or a false claim on a federal form. There hasn't been a law that says like it is illegal to smuggle a firearm out of the United States. But now we are on the cusp of actually having that with the new bill.
Is there language in the new bill about that?
Yeah, there is.
Okay.
That says explicitly, it's, you know, legalese that I can't quote directly, but it says explicitly, you know, to take out a firearm from the United States. Mm-hmm. So particularly if it's going to be used and with regard to a drug trafficking or terrorism, or things that they pointed out in the bill.
So Mexican criminal gangs have been, as you pointed out in the column, using these firearms that are purchased right here in southern Arizona and to commit some really, you know, horrible crimes.
Oh, absolutely. And it just gives them like almost like a society level power. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of different armed groups, but just these are very, very powerful weapons. And you think about these horrors, these shootings that we see in the United States, and like those same weapons are being used like throughout Mexico. So it's just a tragedy that I'm very glad to see that on the United States side, we are kind of at least acknowledging it. I know at like the agency level between, you know, the state and Homeland Security and all that, they do work with their Mexican counterparts. But I think this is a key ingredient that's been missing. I'm very curious to see once this becomes law, if it becomes law, then it becomes, how do you like implement it?
Right.
Because a lot of these guns, you know, that end up in the hands of criminal organizations that are bought in southern Arizona, they're not necessarily bought by some, you know, shadowy figure that's, you know, just, you know, super scary. Like, it's a lot of people who are just trying to make $100, you know, and they might have a friend or a relative, you know, who asks them to do this. And they're like, okay, sure. A lot of young people do it. People who have substance abuse problems. And then it's going to be, I think the in the statute, they're going to have it be, you can be sent to prison for up to 15 years. And so if you're a federal prosecutor, how do you handle that when it's somebody, a 19-year-old who's just trying to help out a friend? And that's just the act doesn't really connect mentally with like the devastating consequences of it. I think about it a little bit in terms of drunk driving. It might seem like, oh, no big deal, but then you can have a just, you can kill somebody.
You're still asking for candidates to send information to you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's going pretty well.
And how are they, mainly Democrats responding?
Oh, I think that we've been all Democrats so far, which I would very much, if there are Republican candidates, please, you know, what we're trying to do is trying to get the candidates to, you know, pick an issue you think is important. And, you know, what's your argument? What should we do? Why is it important? What should be done about it? So not so much, here's why you should vote for me, but more like, how do you think? When you look at the world, what do you think's important? How would you deal with it?
Okay, and information is in the Star or on the web or whatever about how to reach you?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. We're putting in the paper almost every day. If you look down at the bottom of the left-hand page, you'll see it.
Thank you very much, Kurt. All the best to you. Have a
Thank
great
you.
Weekend.
You too.
All right, Weekend Watch with Matt Russell. It's coming up next on the Buckmaster Show.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the DoubleTree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
All righty, then. It's time for Weekend Watch, presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. What a great time of year to take a three-hour road trip over to Silver City, looking at their midday temps, mid-70s. Oh, my goodness, what a beautiful day. An early summer day at about 5,000 to 7,000 foot elevation. As we say on the Buckmaster Show, we pretty much guarantee 10 degrees cooler at least, living up to the guarantee today for sure. Go to southwestnewmexico.org to find out about great things to do and great places to stay and to eat. There's some fine dining in Silver City as well. Let's welcome now award-winning Tucson publicist, the longtime host of Weekend Watch, Inside Tucson Business Food and Beverage columnist, Mr. Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
Well, I'm doing great, and there's probably a Weekend Watch guarantee that there's going to be lots of great things to eat and drink this weekend in town.
Oh, yes. Where do we begin?
Well, you know, we haven't revealed a happy hour pick in a while, so here's one that I think is definitely going to bring some happiness to the hours ahead. It's Flora's Market Run in that space that was Rincon Market for decades, and their happy hour menu, I think, is one of the most robust I've ever come across. You know, not only are there deep discounts on beers and wines and cocktails, there's special pricing on pizzas and burgers and sandwiches. And definitely check out their new mussels, which are made with an elote roasted corn broth with tarragon oil and malt vinegar dusted French fries. Are you feeling happy yet? It's today from 3 to 5 p.m. and every day at Flora's Market Run.
Hey, it's a good time in Tucson. A lot of folks like to get out at night. Can you help us out with kind of a summer night special?
I got you covered, Bill. It's the last Friday of the month, which means it's the summer night market at the MSA Annex, which is adjacent to Augustine Kitchen at the Mercado San Augustine, just off of Congress, west of I-10. From 6 to 10, over 60 local vendors will be on site. They're going to be featuring their goods with most of your favorite MSA Annex shops, and a lot of them are going to be extending their hours to stay open late for some eating and drinking and shopping under the stars. And while you're there, here's a must. You have to try Kukai, which I think rolls out some of the most spectacular sushi and Japanese delicacies in town. Summer Night Market is tonight at the MSA Annex.
It's called Kukai, and where are they located again, Matt?
Yeah, absolutely. Kukai, K-U-K-A-I. They are at the MSA Annex, which is just off of Congress, west of I-10, on the south side of the street.
There you go. Real good tip. A lot of folks love catfish. What can you help? How do you help the catfishers?
You betcha. You know, as you recall, I spent some time in North Carolina
a few years ago,
and I ate more than my fair share of catfish. I just love it. Now, wouldn't you know, tomorrow is National Catfish Day. You can't make this stuff up. You can find catfish here in Tucson all around town. Try the Southern Fried Catfish Sandwich at Ken's Hardwood Barbecue. He's over on Craycroft and 22nd. There's a great beer-battered Mississippi catfish up at the Parish on Oracle. I've even seen an Asian-inspired version at Tuk Tuk Thai, and they have two Tucson locations. Wherever you land, I think you're going to get a catfish experience to wet your whiskers with on National Catfish Day.
How was it prepared when you were there in North Carolina? How did they do the catfish, Matt?
Okay, let me make sure my personal trainer wife is not listening. I'm going to close the door.
Make sure.
This is the South, Bill. So it is deep fried in all of its glory.
Whoa, well, that's everything we need to know about catfish right here on Weekend Watch. Matt, have a great weekend. Thank you so much.
Cheers, my friend.
All right. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. Our organization is wholly responsible for the content of our program, which airs Monday through Friday during the noon hour. Our original theme music composed by a young man that I met about 5 or 6 years ago named Cristofan. He was vacationing on the Portuguese island of Madeira, as were we. Got to know each other, and he said he composes music, and he put together our theme music. Does a great job. Thanks to Assistant Rosemary Brandt, everybody here at KVOI, including my longtime engineer and producer, Tom Fairbanks, and the entire team at Bustos Media Tucson, which makes all of us here at the Buckmaster Show feel so very much at home. Be well, everybody. Stay safe, and I hope you all have a lovely weekend.